Welcome on in to the Jazz Talk Podcast. I'm your host, CJ Dieters. Now, weren't the Jazz supposed to be tanking this season? The Jazz are 4-1 right now. We'll get talking about the last four games and the trajectory of this team, how they've been looking, and why they've had early successes like this. We'll also look into their next opponent as they go up against the Nuggets again. And, of course, because it's me, I have a trade to make this team better. But let's get on into, so the Jazz are 4-1 right now. Very close to being 5-0. They lost one game to the Rockets, and it was a game in which the players were tired. You could tell that they had no legs left. All the shots were short. But they fought. They gave it everything they could, and they came up just short in that game. Other than that, since they played the Nuggets, they started off their road trip playing against the Timberwolves. Against Rudy Gobert, Karl Anthony Towns, Anthony Edwards, and D'Angelo Russell. And the Jazz played solid defense. They shot the three well. They passed the ball well, which is a theme with this team so far. They have been moving the ball very well. It's times when they have possessions when they go down there and they don't throw the ball, or they throw one pass and immediately shoot, that they're having a little bit of issues. But when they move the ball, they've been very successful so far in this early season. They're able to beat Rudy Gobert in his first game against the Jazz. Rudy played well in that game for the Timberwolves. Jalen Noel played great coming off the bench. But Anthony Edwards had a horrible game. Karl Anthony Towns didn't play very well. D'Angelo Russell wasn't much of a factor. And so the Jazz were able to pull off a win that actually went into overtime. And the Jazz were able to keep fighting and win that game. The next game, they go up against the New Orleans Pelicans. This is another team that's supposed to make the playoffs this year. They have Zion Williamson, Brandon Ingram, Jonas Valanciunas. And across the board, this team is full of guys like 6'6 plus. They can play multiple positions. They can handle the ball. Some can shoot. Those that can't shoot are great defenders. This is a tough team for this Jazz team to go up against. And I think it was Jordan Clarkson or Lauri Markkanen? I think Jordan Clarkson had the big game against the Timberwolves. Lauri Markkanen, I think, had the huge game against the Pelicans. This game also went into overtime, and the Jazz just kept fighting. You know, they've had games with big foul trouble from Jared Vanderbilt. He's already fouled out of two games this year. Kelly Olynyk, I think he's fouled out of two games so far. Last night, and we'll get into that one, Mike Conley had five fouls. They've had their troubles throughout the year. They've had to go to other guys. Will Hardy, the brand new coach for the Jazz, he's been throwing out a lot of different lineups, a lot of different guys. And the Jazz, one common theme with this team, well, two, is they pass the ball, they move the ball well, and they compete. They get after it. They hustle. And they don't ever assume that the game is over, whether they're behind or whether they're way ahead. They just keep fighting, which is a huge contrast to last year's team. Last 2 years, that same team, they were just so talented that they kind of were going through the motions because they knew that they could kick it on in the last few minutes and get a win. And last year, that strategy wasn't working, and that's why they ended up, I think, the fifth seed or sixth seed in the West, and didn't make it out of the first round because they just kind of assumed they could turn it on whenever they wanted to. This year's team, they're far less talented, but they get after it. So again, that game went to overtime and the Jazz ended up winning. Then they went to Houston from there on a back-to-back. So they've played two overtime games. And they're playing on a back-to-back, so of course they're going to be tired. That they kept fighting, though. You never saw them give up. You never saw them decide, hey, you know what? It's back to back. We'll just go ahead and lose this one, but we'll get some rest and we'll be ready to go for the next. They just kept fighting. And the game came down to the last few possessions. The Jazz just didn't quite have it in that game to pull out the win, but they kept fighting. Simone Fontecchio came in. He'd only gotten tiny little spurts in games before, and he got to play, I think it was 13 minutes, put up 13 points in that game. Looked great from three, hit a huge dunk, and was actually part of the closing lineup for the team. And again, they ended up, I think they lost by four in that game. But it was close the whole way down. And then we get to last night's game. They played the Rockets again, so it's time, it's a chance for redemption. In that first game, Kevin Porter Jr. for the Rockets went off. He had a huge game. Now, in the stat line, he ended up having a big game last night as well. But in that first half, the Jazz really slowed him down. They changed some things with their defense, and they figured out a way to send him into the half with only 7 points. Now, Kevin Porter Jr. and all NBA players are extremely talented. They know what their strengths are. And so the Rockets are not a very good team, but they have really good one-on-one players. And so what the Rockets did in the second half last night was bring the ball down, run some screens, get switches to where they could get the defender they wanted, and they'd go one-on-one. There was a couple times where Kevin Porter Jr. would get Kelly Olynyk on him, and even though Kelly's got the size advantage by far, Kelly or Kel Kevin Porter Jr. is a lot quicker. He can hit that pullback three, and so he's able to take advantage of that. The Rockets bring the score real close again. We're getting to like the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. Mike Conley still out with big foul troubles. The Jazz finally get to go to what ends up being their closing lineup, even though Jared Vanderbilt fouls out, Kelly Olynyk fouls out. So they went with a super small ball lineup to finish out. They had Lauri Markkanen at center. I guess Talen Horton-Tucker, you could call the four. Michael Beasley, Malik Beasley, my bad. Jordan Clarkson and Mike Conley. And they finished out this game. Lauri Markkanen got super aggressive. He was super aggressive the whole game. He had a bad game, that first one in against Houston. So he came out firing. I think he went like 7 for 9 from the field. So he didn't shoot many shots, but he had to have shot more shots than that. Anyway, he was super efficient with what he did get. I think he ended up with like 24 points, 9 or 10 boards, dished out like 4 assists. He looked great. He led the team to this win, but Jordan Clarkson had a great second half. Mike Conley was the leader that they needed at the end. Talen Horton-Tucker came off the bench and had by far his best game as a Jazz man so far. Had a huge dunk. I think either in the fourth or late third quarter, hit a couple threes. He looked great. Earlier in the game, Colin Sexton injured his oblique and couldn't play the second half. He was looking good before he went out. But the Jazz, even shorthanded with the foul trouble, with the injury, were still able to pull out this win. So this team is 4-1. Now I will say this. They're gonna play the Nuggets on Friday. Then they're gonna play in a back-to-back in which they have to go from Denver back to Salt Lake. They play the Grizzlies, and then the Monday after that, they play the Grizzlies again, still in Salt Lake. But those are two really good teams. That's a hard schedule doing a back-to-back in which you have to travel for the second one. So it's not that crazy to think that the Jazz will be 4-4, that they'll lose these next three games. But the way this team fights, the way that they make adjustments, the way Will Hardy has been willing to put out different lineups and try and take advantage of mismatches, there's a chance they could be 7-1. They could be 6-2. I like this team a lot. They are so fun to watch. Jared Vanderbilt might be my new favorite player in the NBA. He just flies around. He never stops moving. He gets boards where you didn't even see him on the screen, and all of a sudden he just comes flying out of nowhere, gets the rebound. He'll block shots, he gets big steals. He brings the energy that the team needs. But the great thing is, when he's out of the game, the Jazz still have other guys that can bring that energy. I really like Walker Kessler. Now, I don't think he's been getting enough minutes. I think he's a very productive backup center. And I'd like to see him get more time out on the floor. But also, it's a super young season so far. He's still learning a lot. You can tell that he still looks like a baby giraffe out there. He still has a lot to figure out about this league. But when he's been in, he looks good. He shows a lot of promise. Colin Sexton has looked really good in times that he's in there. Of course, he had that injury last night. I don't think it'll hold him out for the next game. It might, but I think he should be back pretty quickly. But the two guys that have been really carrying this Jazz team are Jordan Clarkson, with his ability to just get really hot and all of a sudden put up 9, 10, 12 points out of nowhere. And then Lauri Markkanen, who is able to create mismatches all the time. If he gets a big on him, he'll take him to the outside and hit threes or speed pass him towards the basket. If he gets a little on him, he'll post him up. He has a nice little hook shot. He has a nice fadeaway. He's not afraid to get in there and dunk it. He's looked amazing. Could be an all-star this year. It'll be close. Like, he's not going to be a clear-cut all-star, but he's one of those guys where if they're picking out the team and they have two more spots to fill, he might be able to get one of those spots. Talen Horton-Tucker had a great game last night. For the most part, he's looked solid on the defensive end. He struggled a little bit on the offensive end so far with the Jazz. Simone Fontecchio hasn't gotten a ton of minutes, but he's been looking good in the time that he has gotten. He's another high-energy guy, with great length, great size. Kelly Olynyk, when the Jazz traded for him for with Bojan Bogdanović, it looked like it was just a straight-up money deal. But Kelly's been huge for the Jazz. He brings a lot of size on the defensive end. He's got great instincts on the defensive end. On the offensive end, he can hit the three. He can hit near the basket. He can handle the ball a little bit. He's a really good passer. I really like this Jazz team a lot. They are so much fun to watch. Now, will they continue to win 4 out of every 5 games throughout the year? No. Nobody can do that. I don't even think, well, the Golden State Warriors from a few years ago could do that. I think this Jazz team could very well win 40, 41 games, win 50% of their games and be right on the cusp of making the playoffs. They are a very talented team. So let's get into this next game that they're going to be playing against the Denver Nuggets. They play on Friday, so the Jazz get a day off, but they do have to fly to Denver during that day off. The Jazz beat them in the season opener. They were able to hold Nikola Jokic down. I expect him to come out firing in this next one. But the Nuggets haven't looked very good this year. Nikola Jokic has looked good, but the rest of the team is not looking very good at all. Michael Porter Jr. has struggled. Jamal Murray has struggled coming back off of his ACL tear. The bench is horrendous. Before the season started, I thought this Nuggets team was a team that was going to be, top 4 or 5 seeds in the West. They could very well be at the same level that the Jazz are now, where they're, kind of a play-in type team. Now, I think Jamal Murray will get more comfortable as the season goes on, and the Nuggets will figure it out, but I don't know. So far, they have just not looked like a very good team. Now, see, is there anything else I want to say on this Nuggets game coming up? The Jazz do play their three bigs, but so do the Nuggets. So size-wise, they're pretty much the same teams. If you go center to point guard, you're going 6'11 versus 6'9. 6'9 versus 6'11. And this is Nuggets over to Jazz. So Jokic is 6'11, Vanderbilt 6'9. Small forward, 6'10 against 7 foot. Shooting guard, 6'5 against 6'5. Point guard, 6'3 against 6'1. So size-wise, they're very similar teams. But the way they play is drastically different. The Nuggets run everything through Jokic, and every now and then Jamal Murray gets to run the offense. The Jazz, everything runs through Mike Conley and Jordan Clarkson, but everybody on this team can get the rebound, bring the ball up the floor, and run the offense. Some much better than others, but there Will Hardy's not worried about having an elite ball handler bringing the ball down the court every single time. The Nuggets play very slow pace. Meanwhile, the Jazz like to get out and run. They are aggressive on the defensive end, going for steals. The Nuggets are more just trying to force you into a bad shot. These are two extremely different teams. The Jazz have shown that they can beat them, but this Nuggets team, they're still very, very talented. And if they play at their top level, there's really not much that the Jazz can do. Scheme-wise, just they just don't have the horses to run with, the two-time reigning MVP, along with the supporting cast that he does have. But that's them playing at their very best. They haven't done that all season so far. But with that, I'm going to get into the trade idea I had. Now, if you've listened to me, I constantly have trade ideas. How many of them actually become a real thing? Not many. But I just like to throw them out there as ideas of possibilities that the Jazz could do to make this team better. So, this Jazz team, as I've said, they run three bigs out there at a time. And they're a very young team. Most of the guys are 26 and under. They still have Rudy Gay, Mike Conley, and Jordan Clarkson, and Kelly Olynyk, who are older. But for the most part, this is a young team. My idea is to bring in another big, 6'11, 7 footer that's 26 years old. They can block shots and can space the floor. Fits in well with the team. I want to try and go get Miles Turner. Now, Miles Turner is not a perfect player. He's not a great rebounder. His big strengths are he can block shots and he can knock down threes at a pretty decent clip. He's 26 years old. He's a fringe all-star type center. Now, the Pacers have shown that they are willing to move on from Miles Turner. They were really close to trading him to the Lakers in a trade in which they would have sent Miles Turner and Buddy Hield to the Lakers. The Pacers would have taken back Russell Westbrook and gotten 2 first-round picks, and they would have ended up buying out Russell Westbrook. Very similar to what the Jazz were looking to do with Bojan Bogdanovic and Russell Westbrook to get those 2 firsts. Now the Lakers were the ones that ended up pulling out of that deal. Apparently, that deal was basically done, and the Lakers at the very last second pulled out. So again, the Pacers have shown that they're willing to let go of Miles Turner, but they have to get the right price. So my idea is sending Rudy Gay, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, the first round pick that you got from the Nets this year, which is going to probably be somewhere in between 25 and 30, and then one of the pick swaps that you got from either the Timberwolves or the Cavs to the Pacers for Miles Turner. The Jazz have room under the luxury tax, and they have a trade exception to where they can make this trade work money-wise and bring him in. Now, Miles Turner is on the last year of his deal, so if I was Jazz, I would structure this as an extension, trade and extend. Basically, as they're making the trade, they extend him on a 3-4 year deal, so that he's actually around for longer. Now, you could still involve the Lakers in this. The Lakers like Buddy Hield, so you could do something around sending still Russell Westbrook to the Lakers, Miles Turner to the Jazz, and the Lakers get Rudy Gay, Buddy Hield, Nickeil Alexander-Walker, and the Pacers would get those two picks I set up from the Jazz and one of the first round picks from the Lakers. Again, that's just throwing out an idea, but basically the idea is the Jazz get Miles Turner, and the only person from their normal rotation they're sending out is Rudy Gay. The Jazz still would have tons and tons of draft compensation left. They're not getting rid of the really valuable picks by doing any of this, but the Pacers get to add to their collection of picks heading forward. Now you bring in Miles Turner. He can replace Kelly Olynyk in the starting lineup. So now all of a sudden you can throw out a starting lineup of Turner, Vanderbilt, Markkanen, Clarkson, Conley, and off the bench. Now you get to bring a guy like Kelly Olynyk off the bench, and he's been awesome for the Jazz so far. You get to bring out another guy that's really close to 7 feet, that knows what he's doing on the floor, that can help a guy like Walker Kessler out there. Now the Jazz are bigger, they're more versatile. So this is just, again, just an idea I had. This also opens up a roster spot to where if the Jazz wanted to bring a guy like Stanley Johnson back, or if they wanted to go out and add, a super young player that they want to take a chance on, or, maybe there's a veteran out there that they like. Maybe they want to bring, I don't know, maybe they want to bring like Kemba Walker in, to help them at the backup point guard position or something. But this gives the Jazz even more options without giving up a bunch of trade compensation. Miles Turner can also be a part of the new future for this team. You would have, if you signed or traded and extended him, now you'd have him, Nyjah Markkanen, and Colin Sexton on board with the team for multiple years. So again, it's just an idea I'm throwing out there, but I think that it would further the Jazz chances of being a playoff team this year, using cap space that they have going into next year, to further add to this team, using draft picks that they have coming up in this next year's draft to add some more young talent. And you could sneak into the playoffs this year, net the next year after that, maybe you're a mid seed. And then right after that, once some more of the young players start developing, you could be a true contender. I don't think that this rebuild has to last 4 or 5, 6 years. I think that this team can flip things around pretty quickly. That being said, who knows? Maybe we see them go the complete other way. And there's been a trade that's been discussed where they send Mike Conley, Jordan Clarkson, Rudy Gay to the Lakers for Russell Westbrook and a couple firsts. They add to their draft picks, they buy out Russell Westbrook, and now they're really into young team, full-on rebuild mode. The Jazz have options. They could go either way. They could do something completely different than that. But it's fun for the Jazz to actually have the ability to make these changes as they need to, as they need to improve this team. make themselves more versatile, make themselves more talented, whatever it is they're looking to go for. But with that, I'm gonna go ahead and end this episode. Thank you all so much for listening. Have a great day and go Jazz.